Good to see all of you out, and that's the thing with technology. not quite yet. It was working earlier. A little bit of excitement for your day today. You just did. Uh-huh, that's right.
Building expectations.
Here we go. We're nice and clear now. We just never know what may happen. We had tested this right before the service and everything was a go. But then something happened. We're thankful for Dan and James back there, our sound guys. And I want to welcome this morning, especially wish a happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out here. And what a blessing a godly mother is, and I can speak that from experience. And happy Mother's Day. And on the back table, we have some carnations for you. And so if you'd like to take a carnation for yourself, that'd be wonderful. And we do appreciate you here at Nordville Baptist Church. If you want to take your bulletins, just a few announcements. We do have our Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry this afternoon. We leave the church at 2:30. We'll be there at 3 o'clock at the nursing home. Then our normal services this week. I do want to mention tonight, we have a special speaker, Andy Scott, will be preaching. And so be sure to come this evening so you can hear him preach. Next Sunday, on the 16th, we'll be having our missionaries, Neil and Sandra Heim. We support them. They're missionaries to Peru. And they'll be coming this next Sunday, on the 16th, and they'll be sharing with us concerning the ministry and how the Lord has been working there. And they'll be with us all day. And in relation to that, we want to have a fellowship next Sunday night, and for the Himes, also for Andy. And I think Andy, are going to be here next Sunday night? Wonderful. We've appreciated Andy through the years. He's been a very faithful attender, an integral part of our church. And soon Andy will be leaving to be an East Sider, not an East Sider in Des Moines, but an East Sider in the United States. He'll be going to Boston. And the last summer he was there. He'll be going here the first part of June, and then he's going to be settling down out there. And so be praying for him, but we kind of want to have next Sunday night that fellowship kind of as a farewell to Andy also. And so be praying for him, and be sure to enjoy the time that he's here with us. And also, congratulations, we have two of our own that graduated from Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary. Matt Marshall Felderman walked the line on Friday. He graduated with his Bachelor of Arts from the college. And then Andy graduated with his Master of Arts, and he's still working toward his Master of Divinity, so he'll probably graduate next year with that, Lord willing. And then coming soon, Lori Draper will be graduating from North High School, so keep that in mind also. We'll get more details as that's still in the future. We'll have a deacons meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. Keep that in mind as far as the deacons. And I think that's about all we want to mention for our announcements. It's good to see all of you out this morning. Wonderful day to worship the Lord together. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us and your many blessings. And I do even thank you today especially for all of our mothers. I do thank you personally that you have given me a godly mother, a mother who is God-fearing and who taught me so many things during my childhood. I thank you for her godly testimony. And I thank you here at Nordville Baptist Church for the many godly mothers and grandmothers, those who have a desire to serve you, those who are good examples to the younger women of this church. And so I do pray that you'd bless them in a special way today. I pray that you'd continue to give them fruitful ministries as they serve you. And I do thank you. I thank you for each one here, for the fathers and for the children and for everyone. I do pray that each and every one of us would have a heart for you, that we'd have a desire to serve you. And I pray even as we look at your word this morning, I pray that we'd be encouraged, and I pray that Sunday mornings wouldn't be the only time that we open up our Bibles, but each and every day we'd be opening our Bibles and that we'd be reading, that we'd be learning more about you. And not just having a head knowledge of you, but that we'd be living what we learn. That we'd have a desire to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. To be holy as you are holy. And to be loving and kind and compassionate and patient. And so I do pray that you'd help us as we seek to grow to be more like you. I even do pray for some of our missionaries. I think that the Himes will be with us this coming Sunday. Pray that you'd give them safety as they travel here in the U.S., going to churches. And I do pray that you'd be with the work there in Peru also. That while they're gone, the work would continue on unhindered. I do even pray for some of our other missionaries. I pray for the Pieces that are in Brazil, ministering there in the Amazon. I pray for the Silcots as they're traveling the U.S., preaching the gospel. I do pray for the Haas, too, as they have a great ministry with CBM. Do pray for the many other missionaries, not only the ones that we support, but the ones that we don't support that have visited, and the many others too, that are out there preaching the gospel and discipling believers and doing a great work there. I pray that even here at Nordville, that each and every one of us would have a burden to share the gospel, a burden to declare your glory among the nations. And so we do pray that you'd help us even this morning as we sing songs of praise to you, as we look into your word, as we give. I pray that And all these things would be lifting up your name and exalting you, because you alone are worthy of our praise. So we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Today is Mother's Day. But before there was ever a mother to have a day to celebrate her, there was the Lord. And just as every other day, this is the Lord's Day. So today we come together to glorify the Lord. We honor our mothers, but we glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave each of us a mother to raise us, and hopefully to raise us in after Him. So let's stand together and sing "How Firm a Foundation That Christ Has Laid in His Excellent Word for Those Mothers to Follow and to Train Us Up In." And you'll find that at number 275. 275, "How Firm a Foundation." Sing out with me this morning.
This morning we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, so if you'll turn with me to the book of Proverbs for our scripture reading, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll be reading verses 22 through 25. Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25. Verse 22 starts, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom, and instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice."
In a minute we're going to be singing number 52, "O God, our help in ages past." I think we can look back to when we were children. For some of us, that was a bit longer than others. But no matter how long ago, we remember our parents. And if they were godly, they looked toward God in heaven, the God of the Bible, to train us up. And yet today, still, He is God over all. And I trust and pray that our children as well will be able to look back toward us and remember the God who helped us in ages past. So let's sing number 52, "O God, our help in ages past."
Thank you.
378. Only one life. 378. Influenced your life. She was only one person, and yet she had such a vast influence on who you were, for good or for ill. I mean, my mom, I provoked her anger many times, and yet still she loved me. And what that taught me is incredible. What patience you can teach your children and even others just by using a soft answer to turn away wrath, or by being patient despite the struggles of life. Think about that as we sing verse 2. Pray for our morning offering. God in heaven, I pray that we would be conscious and, Lord, even feeling your presence this morning. Lord, I pray that we would understand that even though we call this Mother's Day, that every day is the Father's Day. Father, I pray that all those who stand here before me, Lord, all of us, would have our hearts and our minds, Lord, our consciences clear as we come before you. I pray, Lord, that we would realize that this day is your day. Father, I pray that we would have chosen this day whom we would serve. I pray that before anything else, Father, that we honor and praise and glorify, it would be you, the Father. And that, Lord, we would know, as your word says, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, coming down from the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow or variation of change. Father, I pray that it would be you and you alone that we worship this morning. Lord, I am so thankful for the people who gather here faithfully. I thank you that it demonstrates a want in their lives to worship you and to worship with your people. So I pray, Lord, that each and every heart would be turned toward you as we honor the mothers whom you gave us. I pray, Father, that as we thank them for their diligent work, that we would look past them to the Christ whom they seek to emulate. And Lord, I pray that despite any failings that our mothers had, or Father, any way that they affected us harmfully, we would, Lord, even thank them and thank you that in those things you worked out for our benefit, Lord, to teach us, to train us in godliness, if we, Father, only yield ourselves to your will. And Father, that we can be joyful and thankful in all of that, because we can see as we look back into the past that the God in ages past was thinking of us and had planned out our life and what would happen to us for his glory and for our benefit. And Lord, I pray that with that in mind, we would give this morning with joy and thankfulness to you, because all we have is already yours, and everything we have you have given to us. And above all else, you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, who has purchased us with his own blood. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning, let's sing 536. This is a familiar tune to perhaps unfamiliar words. Happy is the home when God is there. Let's stand together and sing 536. this morning, you can have a seat.
Children can go ahead and be dismissed to children's church. And we who remain, let's go ahead and bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. You truly are good to us. I pray that every day, whenever we get up from bed, that we would be reminded of your many blessings. And most of all, the greatest blessing, who is Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he died on the cross for us, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And I thank you that it is because of that sacrifice that fathers and mothers and children can have true life in the Lord. And I do thank you indeed for godly mothers. I do thank you even for your word and for the encouragement that we receive from it. So I pray even as we look into it, I pray that you'd help us to understand and help us to apply what we learned. So we do pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Has anyone ever said to you, your parents would be so proud of you? Anyone ever say to that? Perhaps you've just done something wonderful. I don't know for sure what it would have been, but I'm sure you've all had that compliment given to you before. Your parents would be so proud of you. I hope that you live your lives on a day-to-day basis where people can say, well, your parents should be so proud of you. Now, I think there are some people, sadly to say, that live their lives in a certain way that they want to get that compliment, but they have an ulterior motive. They have some other reasoning as far as why they do things the way they do. But I hope that you have a godly desire. I hope your heart is right. And I hope that the way that you live your life truly would make your parents proud of you. And whenever we're talking about parents this morning, we're talking about godly parents. And it is true that most parents have a certain pleasure whenever their kids do things right. But we're really talking within the framework of godly parents, parents who know the Lord. Now, on the internet, it's amazing what you can find. And by way of introduction here, I searched on the internet and on a website called WikiHow, it says an article here, how to make your parents proud of you. Now, I'm not sure how many kids actually have a problem, because there's a lot of teenagers that have problems getting along with their parents. And I don't know how many of those teenagers actually go to the internet and type in how to make my parents proud of me. I hope there's not too many like that, but there probably are a number of teens out there that really are struggling to figure out, how do I make my parents proud of me? Well, let me read to you. There's five different steps here, if that's what you want to call it. And keep in mind, this isn't from a Christian website, but there are things that really kind of transcend boundaries as far as what makes parents proud of you as a child. And what did it say? First of all, number one is, always, always, always try your best. How are you going to make your parents proud if you don't put in 100% effort? Try your hardest at anything and everything, whether it be sports or schoolwork, jobs or projects. Show them that you're not slacking off. Have an enthusiastic attitude towards everything. It'll get you a lot further than you may think. That's number one. Always try your best. Number two, take their ideas into account. For example, you want to cut your hair and dye it red. They don't want you to. You don't have to do exactly what they say. This is what the website says. But try taking their ideas into account. You could keep your hair the same length and dye it. Or ask them for ideas on what colors they would like. So this is their idea. And they say here, apply this attitude for everything. Don't let them take over you, but make sure you at least show them that you are considering their suggestions too. Okay, that's number two on this five-step process, how to make your parents proud of you. Number three, do the right thing. Your parents probably won't be too proud of you if you're locked up in jail for several different crimes. I think that's safe to say. In contrast, they may be upset or angry with you. You don't have to turn into a total goody two-shoes, but make sure you know the limits and don't push them. Keep within the rules, whether that be at school, work, or the law. Before you do something, always think about whether it's the right thing and whether your parents would be proud of you. That's number three. Number four, be a good person. You may stick within the rules, try your best, and take their ideas into account, but after all that, you might be a really selfish, nasty person, and that won't make your folks proud, will it? So be a good person. Be as generous, nice, and thoughtful as you can. Don't think that you have to be a total pushover or a goody two-shoes. Just be a good person. There are lots of people who are good people, but nowhere near a goody two-shoes or a pushover. Remember that. Okay, that's number four. Number five, be responsible. Don't be a totally immature person who your parents have to be constantly keeping an eye on. It's great to have fun, but know when to stop and be responsible. It ties in with doing the right thing. Always stick with the boundaries. Be trustworthy and reliable. If you're going to babysit, babysit. If you're going to do your homework, do your homework. If you're going to wash the car, wash the car. You can always party, but make sure you know when it's gone beyond the line. Okay, so that's the five ideas that they give you as far as how to make your parents proud of you. Now, overall, that probably doesn't sound too bad, does it? Although we would probably take, we'd kind of disagree with a few areas of what they said there. But of course, we aren't going to go to some random website and just listen to people we have no idea about. We aren't going to get our advice from them, are we? I hope not. Now, there may be some things that I just read that, yeah, they make sense. And they may even be biblical in their foundation. But where are we going to go to see how we should make our parents proud of us? Where are we going to go? We're going to go to the Bible, God's Word. Because in the Bible, we have an authoritative declaration as far as how we should be living our lives. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs really is a great book. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Proverbs, but it is an incredible book. And as we read it and as we study about it, we can learn so much about life in this world. There's proverbs in this book about those who are wise and about those who are foolish. There's sayings about those who are good and those who are bad. And there are godly instructions all throughout this book as far as how we should be living our lives. We're going to go, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start at the very beginning by way of introduction. Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 9 verses. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And here Solomon writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "The Proverbs of Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." As we look at today's world, so often the young people of this world are at a total loss as to how they should be living their lives. Would you agree with me? That is the case today. And often, as we look at the reasoning behind that, why is that the case? Why are the young people of this world totally at a loss as to how they should live their lives? I think it's really a twofold reason. I think, first of all, young people, by and large, we're talking in broad categories here, young people have failed to listen to the instruction that their parents and their teachers and other elders, other authority figures, they have failed to listen to the things that they have told them. But also, I think right along with this, I think there's been a huge failure on the part of those same authority figures. I think there's been a huge failure, by and large, speaking in broad terms, a failure for them to impart to the younger generations what is right and what is wrong, what they should be doing. Now Solomon, if you know anything about Solomon, Solomon was a very wise man. The Lord asked Solomon, "Ask for anything, whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." That was the gist of what the Lord asked him. And how did Solomon respond? Solomon wanted wisdom. He wanted wisdom from the Lord. And the Lord gave him wisdom, and also he gave him riches and so many other blessings that went right along with that. Now Solomon was a very wise king during part of his reign over the nation of Israel. But as we continue to read about Solomon's reign, we realize Solomon forsook that wisdom that the Lord gave him. And he chose, instead of going by that wise counsel of the Lord, he chose to do things his own way. But here we read in the book of Proverbs, and I believe this is probably toward the end of Solomon's life, and I think Solomon realized that he had messed up in many areas, that he had forsaken the Lord in many areas, and I think that Solomon really had come back to a right relationship with the Lord. And here Solomon is desiring to pass on to the younger generations, to pass on even to his own children, the wisdom of the Lord. What does it say there? It says in verse 8, what does it say? My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Solomon had a burden for the younger generation. He wanted to pass on to them, specifically to his son, these are the things that you need to do. And Proverbs is filled with these wise sayings, with these things that his son should be doing in order to live a successful life, a life lived for the Lord. I would encourage you, if you haven't done so already, I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs, because there's so much to learn from this book. I know some people who, for their daily devotions, they read a chapter in Proverbs every day. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and so that works out very nicely. But as you read through the book of Proverbs, there are so many sayings, so many truths here, and they just hit you, and they say, and you recognize, wow, that is so true. Now, that's the way it is. Or you recognize, wow, this is the way I need to be living. Now we recognize, as we read through the book of Proverbs, Solomon was a king over the nation of Israel. And so there are some differences between what Solomon said and how he instructed his son to live under the law. And for us today, we need to keep that recognition. We need to keep that difference in mind. But so much of what Solomon says in Proverbs is applicable to us today as born-again believers, because the truth of God doesn't change. Now, God does deal with different people in different ways, as we think about the nation of Israel and as we think about the church. But yet, God's truth does not change. And God is the same. And there is so much of what He tells us, even here in Proverbs, that applies to us today as well. And so we want to come now to Proverbs chapter 23. Turn with me to chapter 23 of Proverbs. And we want to look at verses 22 through 25. Andy just read them for us, but let's read through them again. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 22 through 25. And here it says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will rejoice greatly, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." So, what today is going to bring your mother or your father joy? Now, I recognize today we're talking to a broad audience, a vast audience. Now, some of you probably have already lost your parents. Your parents have passed on before you. But you can think, what would have made them proud? And once again, we're talking here, godly parents. And that's our focus here. What does a godly father want you to do? What does it tell us there in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 23? What will make your father glad? What does it say? Listen to your father who begot you. Listen to your father who begot you. A godly father wants you to listen to him. And why does he want you to listen to him? Is it because he has a big head? Is it because that he thinks he is someone special and that he has knowledge that no one else has? Why does a godly father want you to listen to him? It is because a godly father recognizes who God is and how God has arranged this world, how he has commanded certain things to be. And first and foremost, I think the godly father recognizes that in the family, he is the authority figure. He is the head of the home. We even read in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And so I believe here, what Paul is saying, yes, the man is the head of the family. And by application, yes, the man is the head of the woman, and also of the children. But yet, is the man a rule unto himself? Can he just live any way that he wants to? No. Because who is the husband's head? Who is the man's head? It is Jesus Christ. And so the godly father and husband, he's not just going to say anything. He's not going to be an ungodly dictator. He is going to be living in submission to Jesus Christ. And who wouldn't want to be living under the leadership of someone who is in submission to Jesus Christ? And so the godly father recognizes that. He is the head of the family. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, something that goes right along with this, verses 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the biblical pattern, the biblical instruction is, yes, the man is the head of the family. But also, as we look at the family, we recognize it's not just the husband or the father that is in charge of the children. Ultimately, the buck stops with him. But yet, it is both parents, both the father and the mother, that play a very important role in rearing up the children. And a godly father is going to have a desire to impart to his family, to his wife and to his children, the ways of the Lord. But also the mother. The mother has an important and integral part. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, we see in the Old Testament law how God viewed the family and how children need to honor and obey their parents. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, we see how seriously the Lord takes this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed him, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And so we recognize how seriously God took the matter of children obeying and honoring their parents. In Old Testament Israel, in the law, what did God say? If there's a stubborn and rebellious and disobedient child that wouldn't listen to his parents, what would happen? Under the law, that child would be put to death. This is serious business. How do you want to make your parents proud of you? How do you want to live a godly life? By listening to your parents, your father and your mother. We continue on in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. The second part of the verse. What does it say? Do not despise your mother when she is old. Now it's so easy as children. Now you've all been children. You all are children. You still are children. It's so easy for us as children sometimes to think that we know what is best. That we even know better than our parents. Especially whenever we're teenagers. Okay, we think, wow, I have everything figured out. I know how I should be living my life. And I know so much better than my dad and my mom. That's the way we think a lot of times. But it's a sad reality, back in Bible times as well as today, that children become bitter and disobedient and they dishonor their parents. That's true of young children. It can be true also of grown children. Now granted, sometimes parents don't do everything perfectly right. Parents are sinners just as well as anyone. And even born-again parents can make mistakes. That's the way it is. They're going to make mistakes. But regardless of the mistakes they make, we still have to honor and respect our parents. We have to obey them in the Lord. God has placed our parents in a place of authority. And as children, we must respect them. We look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. What does it say? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God is giving you. And oftentimes we think of that in the Ten Commandments, we think of the little children, honoring their parents. But it's the same, I believe, for the grown children. They need to also be honoring their aged parents, giving them the respect that is their due. We read in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, "Every one of you shall revere his father and his mother, or rather his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 16, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say amen." The Lord takes this seriously. We come to the New Testament, and the truth is repeated. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So as we look at this, how do we make our parents proud? Do we really want to make them proud? What do we do then? Listen to their godly instruction. Do we have open ears? Are we listening to what our godly parents are telling us to do? And are we following their instruction? And are we giving them honor? Are we giving them the respect that God has told us that they deserve? Now we recognize, yes, they aren't perfect, but yet they deserve our honor and respect. So if we choose to do things our own way, if we choose to rebel against our parents and dishonor them, in reality, what are we doing? We are rebelling and dishonoring God Almighty. But that's not where it ends in Proverbs. We've looked at that first verse, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, but now look at verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 23. What does Solomon say? Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Isn't that a great verse? And this is so very true. This is really where it's at. Do you want your mom to be really joyous today if your mom is still with you? Do you really want her to have joy? Do you want your parents to be glad? If you want your parents to be glad, then buy the truth. Okay, and do not sell it. Do you realize how precious truth is? Do you realize how precious it is? Truth is precious. We must do everything that we can to obtain the truth of God. And once we have it in our possession, don't give it away. Don't let it get out of your control. Yes, we must share it with others, but you must keep it close to your heart. Your word have I hidden in your heart, that I might not sin against you. Solomon says, buy the truth and do not sell it. But also he says, in addition to that truth, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And where do all these things come from? Ultimately, all these things come from God. Now, granted, it may be our parents that teach us these things. It may be another teacher or somebody else that we know that teaches us these things. But ultimately, the source comes from Almighty God. And He has preserved these truths and this wisdom in His Word. There's so many passages we can look at to reinforce this truth as far as the preciousness of God's truth and His wisdom. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2 with me. Proverbs chapter 2, we want to look at verses 1 through 6. And there's so many passages like this. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 1 through 6. And we really can't stress this enough. Here Solomon exhorts his son, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Do you have a desire for God's truth and for His wisdom? Are you doing everything in your power to gain that for yourself? Because that's truly how we gain the fear of the Lord. That's how we can live a godly life. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your hearts retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver you. Are we seeking after the wisdom of God? Let's go over to chapter 16 and verse 16 of Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 16. Is this where our heart is this morning? How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. All of us would like to have a bag of gold, wouldn't we? How much would we go to? How far would we go to get a bag of gold? Okay, we'd go through some extreme effort if we could have a bag of gold. What length would we be willing to go? But recognize God's wisdom and His truth is so much precious than that bag of gold. We say that, don't we? Do you agree with me? That God's truth and His wisdom is more precious than any gold, no matter how much? Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Now we mentally say that is the case, but how much effort are we going, how much effort are we exerting in order to get that wisdom and that truth? We would do any number of things to get $1 million. Wouldn't that be great? But how far are we willing to go? How much energy are we willing to exert to get God's wisdom and His truth? Now granted, it's right here. But yet, this is more than just words in a book. We need to be reading these words, but we need to let them change our lives. We need to let God change our hearts through His Word. Buy the truth and do not sell it. It's a treasure beyond compare. What's going to happen if we truly buy the truth and do not sell it? If we go after it with all of our might? Is it going to leave us just the same as when we went after it? Or is it going to change us? The Word of God changes us. It transforms us. Now, we don't want to just read the Bible so that we can be a big head, so that we can be an intellectual. No, we want to read God's Word so that we know the mind of God and so that we can live it, so that we can be a different person. It is by God's Word that the Lord makes us holy, even as He is holy. We just read last week in John chapter 17 and verse 17. What did Jesus pray for the disciples? What did He pray? Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. It is only as we know God's Word and as we live God's Word that we are made a different person, that we become more like God. We read in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 119 and verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your Word. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, once again in the same context that we saw before, verses 25 through 27, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. It is by God's Word that we are set apart. It is by believing this Word, by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved, that we become a child of God. And as we continue to study God's Word, as we buy it and do not sell it, that God sanctifies us continually, making us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that our mindset? Is that our desire? One more in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It is God's Word that will change your life. If you want to just go on living the way you are, don't read this book. Don't read the Bible. Okay, if you want to just continue on in mediocrity, if you want to continue on living your own way, don't read this book. Okay, or just read this book and don't let it sink in. But if you want to have a changed life, a transformed life, read this book. Pray to the Lord that He would use the words that He tells us and that He would transform us and make us into the image of His Son. The Word of God changes lives. That is how we are made clean and pure. That's how we can be holy even as our Lord is holy. Yes, we read in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. But then our final two verses in Proverbs, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So truly, what makes your parents proud? There are a lot of parents here this morning. And what makes your parents proud? If your children are living for the Lord, right? Doesn't that give you the greatest joy? More than anything else? Even more than your child having a great job or having a great bank account or whatever else. If your child is living for the Lord, that brings you to the greatest joy, doesn't it? And so even as we as children, what makes our mothers the happiest and the most joyful, truly it should be if we are living for the Lord. And we aren't doing it just for them, not so that they can be pleased. We're doing it ultimately and foremost so that God Almighty will be pleased with us. So that we give Him glory and His name is exalted. That's why we need to be doing these things, why we want to buy the truth, why we need to listen to our parents. But then also, and this also brings us great joy, it's going to be joyful in our own lives and it's going to be joyful in other people's lives too. And our parents will rejoice when we live for the Lord. So this Mother's Day, as we think about all the gifts we can get for our moms, and whether it be your mother or whether it be the mother of your children, you think of all these things. Well, what can I get her? Do I want to give her breakfast in bed? Do I want to give her chocolates or flowers or who knows what you want to give her? You think about that. What's the best gift? Well, I think the ultimate gift is if you're living for Jesus Christ. That is the best gift you can give your mom on this Mother's Day. We truly do appreciate mothers. And we want to see them joyful in the Lord. But ultimately, yes, we want to have our Lord Jesus Christ be pleased with us. Are we buying the truth? Are we seeking after the Lord's wisdom? Are we following His instructions? Are we praying that the Lord would change us? Lord, help us to be wise children. Help us, yes, to heed the instructions of our fathers. Help us to honor our mothers. Help us to buy the truth and not sell it. And help us to seek You. Help us to seek You, Lord, with all of our hearts. Heavenly Father, I thank You for what You have shown us in this passage. I do pray that we do things that would make our mothers and our fathers proud of us. But we recognize when we say that, ultimately, first and foremost, we want to make You proud of us. Not some sinful pride, but a godly pride. I pray that we'd be giving glory to Your name, exalting You for what You have done in our lives. And I do pray that others, as they look at our lives, that they would be joyful because they see the Lord working in our lives. And so I do pray that You'd help us. Help us to buy the truth and not sell it. Help us to be seeking Your Word, seeking to live it and to know it. I pray that You'd change us even as we read Your Word, and I pray that You'd transform us into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close this morning by turning to number 349. 349, Trust and Obey. Let's stand together as we close.
To have true fulfillment in this life. How do you do that? It is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Him as your Savior. Believing that He died on the cross for you. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day. Have you trusted in Him? And then once you do that, are you living a life of obedience? Are you continually doing what He wants you to do? We truly appreciate our moms. I hope that we're living our lives in such a way that they are proud of us. But I hope we're living our lives even more for the glory of God. I hope that's our ultimate goal.
Let's close with verse 4.
Thank you.
again. Father, we thank you for the blessing we have to have a church to gather at every week. Father, a place where your word is taught. Father, I pray that we would think of so many people who have not a place to gather, or have a place to gather and your word is not taught, and remember how blessed we are. I pray, Father, that we would take your word to heart this morning. Father, that we would, Lord, take into account the inestimable value of your word. How great it is, Father, that it is powerful even to change lives. I pray, Father, that we would, Father, feast on it, eat it ravenously. Father, as the prophet said, that we would find your words and we would eat them up. And Father, that we would let it dwell richly in our hearts. And Father, then that through it, your fruit would be evident in our lives, that our very lives and our actions would be changed, that our motivations would be changed, Father, and from that, what we do would be more to the glory of Christ, Father, because it is more in His image. So, Father, let that be true of this church and every individual in it. Thank you, Lord, again for your word, for the Christ who changes us, who creates in us a new life, who very, even while we are alive, raises us from the dead, that we might serve you in life, washes away our sins, that we might stand before you in holiness, and even now sits at your right side, interceding on our behalf, so that your grace may be continually imparted to us, despite our continued sinfulness. And Lord, let us praise you in our hearts, and even with our mouths, every day, every morning, every evening, for that truth, and for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.